Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
After the news, I've got to give you this story of Pope Leo's brother. His brother is named Lou, and he's on meds too. He is of Port Charlotte, Florida. If Leo is left, well, then Lou is, I would say, dark MAGA. And we've got the details coming up. And it'll also illustrate how in Philadelphia, we always get the wrong brother. I'll give you those details coming up shortly. But first, let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:04, the great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning, Kale and Company. News live this Monday morning, May the 12th. We are at 57 degrees, mostly sunny so far this morning. Full forecast coming up in just a moment. We do have U.S. stock futures just rocketing this morning. The big news, if you're just waking up and just joining us, then we know that overnight, U.S. and China agreeing to these temporary cuts on tariffs following very successful talks over the weekend in Switzerland. So what does that mean? China and the U.S. agreeing to lower tariffs on goods from each other's countries for 90 days, so a temporary pause, a temporary reprieve, if you will, in this trade war that threatened, obviously, to cause a global recession, many said, and then deepen a widening rift between the world's two largest economies. So what does Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent have to say, as well as U.S. Trade Rep Jamison Greer? Here are the details. U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods would be reduced from 145% to 30%. On the other side, from Beijing, they say they would cut their blanket tariffs on U.S. products, American products, from 125% to 10%. So 30% to 10%. And when will these reductions take effect? They say Wednesday. So this is happening quickly, and that's why you are seeing the futures worldwide, stock markets across, you know, Asia, rising already this morning. Investors waiting for all the details, and the devil always lies in the details, they say. And that's what many of the pundits are saying. This is just a pause. They still have to get something inked, but this is very good news we're waking up to this Monday morning, May the 12th.
So they start Wednesday, May 14th. 90 days would take us out to about August 14th. My prediction is by the end of the summer, which would be Labor Day-ish, deal in place.
Yep.
All right.
Sounds like it.
All right.
So we have that going on. Great economic news. And that's really dominating the headlines this morning. Taking you closer to home, there is a recovery process, a major investigation. This after the bodies of two people were removed from all the debris after neighbors say their home suddenly exploded. This is Washington Township, New Jersey, happening overnight into the early morning hours, and two body bags removed from the scene after fire crews responded to the intersection. This is Orion Way and Tranquility Court in Washington Township. This is Gloucester County, South Jersey, quiet neighborhood. People say that they were in their homes and suddenly they heard this loud blast and the home just exploding. In the wee hours of this morning, there is surveillance footage that now has gone viral showing the moment that the home just erupted into flames. So tragically, two people inside that home, presumably sleeping, a man and a woman, they're not releasing their identities. Obviously, neighbors and authorities know who this is, but pending notification from other family. Horrific situation, as it looks like just an intense fire. But they're on the scene right now investigating this entire situation.
No,
very disturbing.
Just, yeah, it's just awful, especially, you said, in their sleep.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we don't know, is this a gas situation? We don't have all the details on that one, but obviously multiple investigations on many levels going on right now as they look into that and try to investigate to figure out what's going on. We also have in Philadelphia a real tragedy here. Apparently, some teenagers and a 12-year-old boy. This is the West Oak Lane section of Philadelphia. Group of teenagers making some kind of a music video, and involved in that video of at least one firearm that we know of. In this one now, the 17-year-old charged with third-degree murder and voluntary manslaughter after the firearm went off. This happened around lunchtime on Saturday. So the gun goes off. A 12-year-old boy who's in the vicinity of this music video they're making, he suffers a gunshot wound. They rush him to the hospital, and that's where he was pronounced dead. 12 years old. He's identified as Ethan Parker. That's his name, Ethan Parker, a 12-year-old child.
Curious, are there places to watch music videos these days anymore?
Yeah, I was wondering. Whatever just happened curious. To MTV and yeah. VH1?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think they make music videos. I think it's all online now. So,
yeah.
A streaming thing?
Or... Yeah, sure. So,
what is the is Vivo, I think, is the company that does all the music videos now?
I have no idea.
Bring back the music video.
I just see all those things on, you know, like Spotify and all those things have their own little stills and their own little videos.
They're very low budget, too.
Low budget, yeah. And then they repeat over.
Yeah, they're 10 seconds long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
apparently, a 17-year-old, a 15-year-old, and the 12-year-old were, quote-unquote, producing a music video.
Well, Nick asked a very good question in the 6 o'clock hour. What genre of music is this? Dawn is country music.
This was polka.
Was that polka music?
It would have been polka music.
Polka music. Yeah.
And a wanna. And a
they tried to book Jolly Joe Timmer, but he was a little booked up, so they...
Was this a Jason Aldean music video? I'm just curious.
Try that in a small town.
Yep.
It's just tragic.
Do we have the other identities and the names of the other those that were involved? I know the 12-year-old you said perished, but do we have the other names?
The 17-year-old who's facing these serious charges, including a manslaughter charge, third-degree murder, they're not releasing the 17-year-old's name.
Huh.
So I don't know if once the 17-year-old is processed, will the 17-year-old be charged as an adult? Right now, they're treating this as a juvenile situation.
Of course.
So as you know, when it's juvie, they don't release the names.
Right.
Do we know the name of the artist? Is it something like Young Thug or
wow,
nine millimeter WAP or whatever, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's WOP, you know, like the that song.
Yeah. Greg Stocker's just, you know, what the hell?
Greg's on fire.
I'm just curious. Yeah. I'm just curious about
if the
artist was released.
Stocker is done with chartered flights that are gifted. And music videos that lead to fatalities.
You mean from the terrorist country?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just trying to do like a soccer recap of what the takes were today from Gregory.
Yeah. Yeah. All over the place because I'm consistent, unlike other radio hosts who are not.
Boom.
Thank you.
Wow.
Boom.
So we have, and this is a New Jersey, technically a local story, because we have word that the last alive American-Israeli hostage, Eidan Alexander, who was a teenager just graduating a New Jersey high school, is set to be released. He was 18 years old when he had gone over there for that music festival. He's now just turned 21, is set to be released from Hamas captivity. That from Hamas yesterday, and this was later confirmed as well by President Trump, the White House, etc.
Let me just throw this out there, and I am coming at this from a place of complete and total ignorance. But whether you're Jewish American or Arab American, and you decide to, you're like, okay, what about a trip to the Middle East? Do they even offer flights directly to the Middle East, or do you have to go to like Hamburg, Germany, or something like that? And also, with the advisories that are out there where the government says, you know, kind of roll the dice at your own risk here, is it really worth going over there? And I say that for any, you know, Arab American, any Jewish American, why would you want to go over to that area? Like, regardless of your heritage, your faith, your lineage, anything like that, is it really worth it? I mean, this kid was 18 years old. He's going there for a music festival. I know the odds of it happening, you know, him being abducted, are probably the same odds of you crashing in an airplane. But is it worth it? I don't know that it is. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, I think that, look, so many people have Christians, Jews, all different religious backgrounds, obviously want to go to that part. It's the Holy Land for basically every major religion.
Well, I get it. Yeah.
And so in this case, though, we're looking at You ask what day it is. It's day 584.
That's it.
584 days since October 7th, since that terror attack. And so that's how long these hostages, which only dozens are believed to still be alive.
Yeah.
But he's the last American. So I don't, there's a lot of coverage surrounding this as far as when he will physically be released and looking toward peace in that part of the world. But at least for the family, mom and dad, you know, for Edan Alexander, certainly celebrating. Hamas says it's a goodwill gesture.
Yes, that's the verbiage I heard. Yes, goodwill. So what do they want in return? They're not doing this out of the kindness of their heart. At least I don't think.
I mean, President Trump has said that it's a potential step toward ending this, quote, brutal conflict.
Okay.
So peace in the works, as we think about, you know, peace and prosperity. Do we have peace deals? Russia, Ukraine. Now we've got the China tariff situation, the Middle East peace deal. That's probably the next jewel in the crown, if you will, because you were talking about, you know, keeping the receipts. So we have that going on. So much happening this morning. I'll tell you about our Philadelphia Phillies triumphant against the Cleveland Guardians. So what was that score? 3-0. As we look at Kyle Schwarber homering twice to tie Aaron Judge for the Major League lead, extending his on-base streak to 46 games. Zach Wheeler striking out 8 over 7 innings as our Phillies beat the Cleveland Guardians 3-0 last night.
I'm going to tie the Phillies into the Pope in just a second once we wrap up with news. You're going to love this. You're not getting this anywhere else.
Pope.
That's correct.
My goodness. We can't wait for this one. We are sponsored this morning by First Bank in our news and our sports. Ready to drive your business's success with a trusted local partner? You can count on First Bank for personalized support and smart solutions to help your business grow. First Bank, your trusted local partner for success. Visit myfirstbank.com. Learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Thank you, First Bank. Visit myfirstbank.com to learn more. First Bank sponsoring our news and the weather for today, looking good. But Nick, looks like a change in the forecast is on the way for Tuesday.
That is correct, Dawn. Currently 57 degrees. It's going to go up to 81 today. Very sunny and warm out, although tonight we're going to dip back down to the low 60s. 50% chance of showers, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, intermittent storms throughout the day for the next 4 days, but that'll clear up just in time for another weekend. Philly weather brought to you by MTRule.com, your Generac generator experts. That's MTRUHL. com, and that'll do it for Kale and Company News Live round number 2 here on this Monday morning. All right, so let me just give you this before we wrap up here in the next couple of moments. I said I was going to tie the Phillies into the Pope. Do you now, if you're a Philadelphia Phillies baseball fan, you know historically the Phillies have always had the lesser of the two brothers, right? You want to talk Andrew Cuomo versus Chris Cuomo, kind of on that level. So remember the Phillies had a guy named Jeremy Giambi. He was not that good. And the Yankees and the Oakland A's had Jason Giambi. Guy would hit like 40 home runs a year. We always have the wrong brother. We had Mike Maddox. The Braves had Greg Maddox. We had Vince DiMaggio. The Yankees had Joe DiMaggio. We had Ken Brett. The Royals had George Brett. We had Mark Leiter. The Mets had Al Leiter. You get the gist here? Like, we get this run-of-the-mill routine bozo, and they get Hall of Famers, right? Apparently, that's what happened with the Pope. That's what happened with the Pope. So we know that Leo is, all indicators so far are that he's left of center. He's a liberal or a progressive Pope based on social media comments of the past.
He was part of a pro-life thing?
He might be pro-life, but he might be woke.
Very pro-life.
Okay. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that have a mixed bag these days. Not everybody can be stuffed in one box. Okay. So apparently, Lou Prevost, Port Charlotte, Florida. This guy is a hardcore Trump fan. In fact, he went off on social media many times about Nancy Pelosi and those on the left. I want to read this. This is courtesy of Mediaite. So, as we know, Leo, born Robert Francis Prevost, told the world last Thursday, quote, "So I would like to pray together with you. Let us pray together for this new mission, for the whole church, for peace in the world, and let us ask Mary, our mother, for this special grace." Well, weeks earlier, on April 18th, Lou Prevost, Leo's brother, shared a video meme on Facebook for a mock support group for liberals that are struggling to cope with a second Trump administration. He commented, quote, "For my upset, crying, left-leaning friends and others suffering from TDS, this service seems right for you." And earlier, 2 weeks earlier, on April 4th, Prevost shared a clip of Rep. Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of California from the 1990s, going to bat for hitting China with tariffs. Yes, as I've said many times, Trump is part Ronald Reagan, part 90s Democrat. Nancy Pelosi advocated for tariffs against China. Pelosi has since changed her stance on the issue. He also alluded to a baseless conspiracy theory that accused Pelosi's husband of being romantically involved with a man who broke into their home. Remember, that was the David DePap story, who attacked him with a hammer. Prevost shared the post from another Facebook user who commented the following. "Do they not know that these effing liberals crying about tariffs is just unreal? Just what do you think is going to happen? And just listen to what this drunk," and I have to clean this up, "four-letter C-word has to say in the mid-90s,
wow,
long before her husband had Grindr dates."
Wow.
Lou Prevost, the real Pope of Philadelphia.
Oh, my God.
And we always get the wrong one, don't we? Remember last week? Oh, he's a Villanova guy. Oh, he's a Delco guy. I want Lou, not Leo.
Well, I did like the Pope.
I teed
Leo
that up for you, Dawn. This is right in your wheelhouse.
I did like the Pope Leo yesterday called for an end to the wars in Ukraine and Gaza.
Oh, that's nice.
Called
that's
for
nice.
Peace.
Yeah.
That was beautiful yesterday.
I can't believe Lou taking shots at Nancy like that.
Please don't bother me with such frivolity.
Calling
okay.
her a drunk C-word and her husband's on Grindr. We need a MAGA Pope.
The Pope's brother.
The Pope's brother. Unhinged.
That's amazing.
You know what? If we ever have a guest on this show, I want to interview Pope Leo's brother, Lou.
He's on meds, too.
He's on meds, too. I think he should do a Sunday show on this station. The Lou Prevost show. Have that dump button ready, though, because he's got a potty mouth.
Oh, it's amazing.
He's my kind of guy.
Lou's brother.
His brother.
The Pope's brother.
Yes.
It's great. It's wonderful.
I can't believe Mediaite, of all places, with that story. Not necessarily the most friendly to MAGA, if you get my drift. 855-839-1210, the number. All right, Harry Mays in about 25 minutes. But up next, the coordinated media takedown of Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman. It only keeps getting better. And we'll give you all the details as we work our way to the cut sheet at 7:45. Stay right there.
You've heard me talk about replacing my windows and doors with Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding for years now. If you're thinking about redoing your siding, right now is the perfect time. Chapman is offering 15% off James Hardie fiber cement siding, as well as for CertainTeed vinyl siding. Siding, as you know, it's not just for the curb appeal. It acts as that protective barrier against all the harsh weather of all seasons. So whether you want the fiber cement siding or the vinyl, beautiful choices, Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding has you covered. They have more than 30 years experience, and they complete every single project with such care, such precision. I can vouch for that. They also go the extra mile to work with you on all the different styles, all the different options that best fit your home. Don't put this off. Take advantage of 15% off. Do this today. Experience the Chapman difference as I have. Experience it for yourself. They also offer 18-month interest-free financing. You can call, text 610-431-8898. That's 610-431-8898. Take a virtual tour online. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Super predictable was what started last week, and the ball got rolling, and it's a snowball effect. And it is what the mainstream media is doing to John Fetterman, all because John Fetterman is on the side of Israel. when the left-wing progressive faction of his party that has hijacked the Democratic Party is all in and in favor of the pro-Palestinian cause. Pro-Palestinian protests. You know, we've talked a lot about the story with Mo Khan. That was a big chunk of the first half of last week with the Temple Barstool Sports situation. And we had the story a week ago today in the Big Take, how New York Magazine wrote a hit piece on John Fetterman. And then towards the latter portions of last week, I think it was Thursday or Friday, the Associated Press had a hit piece on Fetterman. And when we signed off Friday morning at 11 o'clock, four more columns were written about John Fetterman. Axios, with the headline, Fetterman doubts explode into Capitol Hill firestorm. Politico, with the headline, internal polling shows Fetterman's support is tanking with Democrats in his own backyard of Pennsylvania. NBC News, they joined the party. An isolated John Fetterman clashes with colleagues and staff as he skips his Senate duties. And then also The Atlantic, over the weekend, the hypocrisy of Fetterman's defenders. Let me just read one or two tidbits from each of these stories, and then we'll get into this, because to me it was so predictable. This is what they do when they defend a Democrat. They all use the same talking points, like saying, oh, no, no, Joe Biden, no cognitive decline. What you see, what you hear is right-wing conspiracy theories. It's right-wing rhetoric. It's right-wing talking points. Forget all of the blunders. Your eyes and your ears deceive you. Then, when it comes to John Fetterman, the same John Fetterman that they went to bat for in 2022, you can't criticize him. Stroke is off limits. Don't make fun of him when he speaks on the debate stage tonight against Dr. Oz. You're an awful human being. Now they are all in agreement that John Fetterman has just expired. He's eroded before our very eyes. His expiration date has been reached. He's moldy bread on the shelf. Here's Axios. Senator John Fetterman has unnerved aides with his performance in office, with both current and former staffers telling Axios that the Pennsylvania Democrat seems uninterested in his day-to-day duties of being a senator. Again, we zero in on that word, duty. Fetterman, according to Axios, has missed 55 floor votes in the Senate, and he has missed 29 alone in 2025, the third most of any sitting senator. Then Politico writes, John Fetterman's popularity is sinking amongst Democratic voters in his own backyard, according to an internal poll obtained by Politico. I'd like to actually see if that internal poll really exists, but I'll stop right there. 49% say they have an unfavorable impression of him, while 46% say they have a favorable impression of him. According to the survey, by the way of comparison, the poll, the same poll, showed that 82% of Pennsylvania Democrats view Josh Shapiro, the governor, to be very favorable, with only 13% viewing Shapiro unfavorably. So they're pitting Shapiro and Fetterman up against each other. The poll was completed by a Democratic firm surveying the upcoming mayoral primary election in Pittsburgh, and it comes after the New York Magazine published the article I'm referencing. They say, quote, in Pittsburgh, this is a breaking glass freakout moment for Fetterman, said a Pittsburgh-based Democratic strategist who was granted anonymity to speak frankly. Let me go to NBC News. Let's go nationally. In the run-up vote to confirm Pete Hegseth as defense secretary, Senator Patty Murray, Democrat from Washington, knew her party had a problem, and that problem's name was John Fetterman. Fetterman, the Democratic senator from Pennsylvania, was open to confirming President Donald Trump's embattled pick, according to two people familiar with his thinking. Murray wanted to speak with her colleague one-on-one, so she reached out to Fetterman to set up a time. But Fetterman refused, as the two people familiar with the episode told NBC News. Quote, he figured that she wanted to yell at him about it, one person said. That Fetterman wouldn't even speak to one of the most senior members of his party, someone who is well-respected in the caucus and, like Fetterman, has a reputation for being a straight shooter, was emblematic of the way Fetterman has operated in the Senate. This article is based on interviews with, get ready for this, folks, 18 former Fetterman staffers. And then lastly, The Atlantic, the hypocrisy of Fetterman's defenders, dismissing evidence that a politician might be unfit for office is as much a mistake for the right as it is for the left. Remember the days after President Joe Biden's barely coherent debate performance when Democratic dead-enders insisted that nothing was the matter? That was embarrassing, The Atlantic writes. But apparently, it wasn't so embarrassing that everybody took away the correct lesson, because something similar is now happening between Senator John Fetterman and his admirers on the right. Conservatives are now doing the exact same thing that the Biden defenders did, denying the obvious and the unfit nature of a politician because he is politically useful. To which I would say, here's the difference. All of you said the exact same talking points about Biden's cover-up as you are now in chewing up and spitting out Fetterman. So whether it's The Atlantic, NBC, Politico, Axios, the AP, or the New York Magazine, it's very obvious here. They don't like Fetterman anymore, in part because of the Israel thing, and I think that's a big part. But what NBC brought up there, I think a lot of people either were unaware of or forgot about because we just talked about it and it was a sentence in a four-hour show. Remember John Fetterman. Say what you want about Fetterman. I get it. He's left on seven or eight things out of 10, but he is common sense on a couple of issues. John Fetterman was willing to have a one-on-one sit-down with Pete Hegseth when every Democrat under the sun wanted to bury the guy because of marital failures and perhaps a drinking problem, right? John Fetterman said, no. I'll judge based on my own eyes, my own ears. We'll have a sit down, and then I will make my vote accordingly based on what I gather and what I learn from speaking to said individual. I just won't run with the talking points. So there have been times where Fetterman has been cordial about anything Trump-related, anything right of center, anything with this administration. And it's just so predictable. And Dawn, you've been doing media far longer than I have. But it starts with one, and then here comes the other. And then before you know it, within a week, every single outlet, which makes you wonder why so many of them even need to exist in the first place. If they don't have an original thought, all they're doing is a copy and paste job of everybody else and just kind of reframing it with a little bit of nuance and a couple of sources, and the source numbers might change. NBC spoke to 18 people, Politico spoke to 4, but by and large, it's like a classroom of students that created the same book report, and the teacher's like, wait a minute, they've all written the same exact thing here. What do you think's going on here, and what's in play with the media, the Democrats, and what they're trying to do with Fetterman?
To me, I think they're orchestrating a series of hit pieces against a Democrat who they feel is out of line. And so this is what happens. And so I just think that these are hit pieces. They're planting these. They're not happy with him that he has been pro-Israel. And he has refused to take on their talking points. But look, he is a Democrat who has voted. He voted against Hegseth. He voted, his voting record is as a left progressive Democrat. But in this case, his own party is turning on him because they're just not happy with him that on some issues, in particular Israel, he has been very vocal. Good for him on that. But I will say on the other issues, let us not forget, because the GOP has supported him, but let us not forget that he is a far left Democrat and he has voted in line with them. It just shows you how their party is. Their party will not. There is a civil war going on right now within the Democrat Party. And so that's why we've seen so many Democrats leave and say, this is not us. And Fetterman, good for him that within his party, he's saying, I'm not going to follow you. But look at what they're willing to do. They're willing to say that somebody who has long, he has been recovering from the stroke for a long time. And this was a party that was willing to say nothing to see here and cover up and be complicit until they feel like he's not in line with everything.
Right. You're exactly right. And that's the major takeaway with the Hegseth vote. He still voted against confirming Pete Hegseth, but he wanted to actually talk to him in person behind closed doors to get an evaluation on his own. And that was like, whoa, whoa, no, no, just do what we tell you to do and vote how we tell you to vote. There's nothing else for you to unearth here, Fetterman. Pete Hegseth cannot be confirmed. But you're right. The Civil War, I mean, that's why guys like David Hogg are going on with Bill Maher. I mean, you talk about what he said. I played you that in the clip in the Big Take. They basically, if you don't fall in line across the board, they cancel you. And that has been their MO now for almost the entire Trump era of politics, where they will contest and fight Trump on every single thing under the sun. And if you don't agree with them on every single thing under the sun, you could be 95% in stride, which probably is what John Fetterman is, short of the Israel thing. But if you are pro common sense on one issue, you're dead to them. As soon as you no longer can offer what they seek, and that's power and control, they look to replace you. And I thought it was interesting. I just want to give this other number real quickly here Politico. Politico, you talk about a civil war. There's a great Gen Z divide. Let me just see if I can find this story. Here it is. Apologies for that. Here it is. The Yale Youth Poll. This was published April 28th. Broke the internet last week, and this was written by Politico, when it was revealed that there's a partisan split with Gen Z. Given a generic Democrat versus Republican ballot for 2026, with midterms coming up, respondents aged 18 to 21 supported Republicans by nearly 12 points, while the older Gen Z, aged 22 to 29, backed Democrats by about 6 points. And according to the poll, they are less likely to support transgender athletes participating in sports, sending aid to Ukraine, on board with illegal immigration, and they are more likely to approve of President Donald Trump. Get this. This is the stat of the day. This will blow you away. 51% of younger Gen Z, 18 to 21, view Trump favorably compared to 46% of older Gen Z. I offer an apology to the young 18 to 21 year olds out there. They are far more with it than the older Gen Z. What you were going to say, Dawn?
Well, on that account, I would say that's because think about what an 18 year old was going through during the pandemic. They were shut out of school. They were in middle school. So the pandemic, there is an absolute tie to the pandemic and the hell that these 18-year-olds went through and the lies that they witnessed in real time, and that's why they're going for Trump, number one. Number two, back to Fetterman, I would say what's annoying to Democrats is seeing John Fetterman on Fox News with Katie Britt, who is his Republican counterpart. The two of them struck up a friendship because her husband being an NFL player, former player, who struck up a friendship with Fetterman. And so, for example, on the Lake and Riley legislation, they have struck up, a nice friendship, and they have co-sponsored some important legislation. I think that's irksome to Democrats, the fact that you have Katie Britt, who is a conservative Republican, now partnering with a Democrat, and they don't want them working together. So I think that's another piece of why Fetterman is a fly in the ointment.
I also think, too, I know you mentioned, the pandemic. I think just young men are tired of being labeled white supremacists, toxic masculinity, chauvinistic pigs. Why? Because we like football, drinking beer, driving obnoxiously big vehicles. Remember, that when you try to tell America that Doug Emhoff and Tim Walz represent the new generation of masculinity, that is one of the biggest miscalculations I can ever recall. Whoever came up with that idea to shun all type A or alpha males and then trot out Doug Emhoff, who, oh, by the way, with his track record of not so flattering things towards women, that's the champion that you're picking to fight the masculinity wars? Then you're going to label Republicans and Trump supporters and MAGA the reason why protein sales are off the charts. Remember, we were talking about all those stories about fitness and protein and exercise and diet. That's a right-wing thing. Oh, it's called a health thing, dude. It has nothing to do with politics. They continue to get the message wrong. And I don't know how they're going to win over type A alpha males. It damn sure isn't going to be with AOC. If they think they're going to roll out AOC or Jelly Belly Pritzker in 2028 or any of these other beta males and get the male vote, they are sadly mistaken. But by all means, please do it, as your losing will continue, at least on that stage. 855-839-1210. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the cut sheet. Harry Mays will join us for a Mays Monday as we continue live on a Monday. It's Kale and Company, but first a word from our friends at Piazza Honda. And we're talking about the Honda Ridgeline. That's my truck. You know, Dawn just got a new Honda as well. She's out of the minivan. But right now you can lease the popular 2025 Civic or the HRV, both starting at $249 per month. The Civic offers sporty performance, while the all-wheel drive HRV provides the versatility needed for every drive. That's a new 2025 Civic and the HRV for only $249 per month for 36 months. This offer won't last long, so visit Piazza Honda of Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or Springfield today. You can shop online at PiazzaHonda.com. Leases with $29.99 down plus tax and tags at 10,000 miles per year for well-qualified buyers. See dealer for details.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Congrats to Dawn for getting out of the minivan. That's a big step.
That is a big step.
Big step, yeah.
Monumental move.
Traded in the MAGA minivan for the Honda HRV, I believe.
Yeah.
Nice.
Let's get down to business. By the way, 7 o'clock hour, which is almost over, is brought to you by Bucks County Estate Traders. Furnish your home and make a statement for spring with one trip to Bucks County Estate Traders. You can browse over 16,000 pieces of all high-quality, famous brands meticulously cared for and curated by their experts. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com or their showroom in Hatfield. Greg Stocker, what's on my favorite edition of the Cut Sheet today?
What's on?
Love Monday.
The Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Monday? Sponsored by Staples. Your local Staples has hot deals and super low prices throughout the store on everything for your business. And right now at Staples, save up to $250 for your printing orders. You hear that? Staff here. Printing orders, $250 off of your printing orders. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Staples.com/print for details ends June 14th. Plus, save even more with easy rewards programs at Staples. Thank you, Staples, for sponsoring the ever-important Monday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. All right, I'm going to start with say, Keith, it's at 6 a.m.
Okay.
What was in the bag? What was in the little baggie?
Oh.
What was was there a spoon?
Yes.
Harry, you're a member of the 80s
yes.
club.
I was analyzing the footage this morning. As
were you?
A matter of fact.
Yeah.
That was absolutely cocaine.
Wow. Okay, good. I like to hear
this. Absolutely.
It's coming out of the box strong. I like that with a strong take at 751. So, over the weekend, French President Emmanuel Macron was caught with a bag, we don't know what it was. Some sort of substance. He was on a trip to Ukraine. They were on a train ride from Poland to Ukraine when reporters entered the room. Macron was meeting with the Chancellor of Germany, Friedrich Merz, and the UK Prime Minister, Keir Starmer.
Three guys I never want to hang out with.
Social media users are speculating that Macron was caught with a bag of cocaine, and some are suggesting that Merz was concealing a Coke straw or a spoon.
Spoon.
One of those Coke spoons, right?
Yeah,
you went into bars and the clubs in the 80s, Harry. You know what the Coke spoons look like.
Of course. Yes, that was absolutely a spoon.
All right. Let's youtube.com/at1210WPHD if you have not seen this video. If you have seen the video, weigh in. Maybe, Phil, you can put up a poll question. Let's roll the video and let our online detectives decide if this is cocaine or not. Roll this. See that little thing, that white thing? That's it. He grabs it.
Oh, boy.
He there he goes.
Wow. Puts it right underneath there. And look at
that. That looked like 2 8-balls, Stocker.
Yeah.
She's hair. 2 8-balls.
And watch. He puts it. He very. holds it, puts it in his pocket. Do you see that?
Yep. And, switched hands.
And you see the spoon, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back. Oh wait. Is this a clearer version? Yeah. This is
the extended version.
This is the extended version.
Bonus coverage.
Yeah.
This is the bonus blow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, didn't the media sort of bust in here unannounced?
Yes.
Totally caught them off guard.
So if you look at right there, he's
there
claiming,
goes the spoon.
Yes. Yep. It's odd that they both grab him and conceal him at the same time, no?
Okay, so I'm fixated on Macron in the middle. Can we just rewind it without sound? I want to see who's the second guy that you're referring to that grabs it. Is it the guy on the right?
Yeah, that's
the guy on the right.
Yeah, that's the German
Merz.
Guy. Yeah.
Okay, so he's got the spoon.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, he moves right the cup. There. He moves the cup and the binder.
Why? Yep. So they're claiming French media is saying that this is all for nothing. That it was a handkerchief.
A handkerchief.
Like a tissue. Why would he conceal it?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? Like
maybe he's got a cold like Joe Biden had on June 27th.
And why wouldn't he take said handkerchief and throw it in the trash? I'm sure there's a trash can over there, right? He mm-hmm. he hides it and then puts it in his pocket. Yep. No.
Did Alex Jones start? Who started this?
I don't know, but it's fabulous.
Where did
it is terrific?
Yes,
I think there's
don't rain on our parade, Stenslin.
I think whatever. I don't know if that's Coke. I'll defer to the '80s Coke Club experts. On
that
the
was
program.
Cocaine.
Okay,
thank
it was
you.
Not
whatever it,
yes,
was,
it was.
They did not want the public to see that. That
yes,
was cool.
It was.
Look
have
at
you
the, look.
Seen the videos of Macron back in the 80s and 90s partying in the clubs?
Nice.
Oh,
this
no.
guy was a maniac.
Wow.
So you think that the French president is going to leave his little cocaine bag on the table when he's talking to his counterparts?
Yes.
I think that's,
absolutely.
I can't believe Dawn's out here defending the French.
Hideous people, the French. Of course they're doing cocaine.
I'd expect this if this was, Don Jr., but not Macron. Macron.
Well, this could explain the cocaine residue in the White House.
That's what I said 2 hours ago. I said, whatever happened to that July 2023 baggie in the White House?
Right.
Hang on.
Was Macron in the White House?
Hang on a second. Road Warrior brought up a good point. Rewind the tape, Philip.
All right.
He said that there is a cut line on the table on the right. Let's look at that.
Oh, there is right there.
Look at that. Ah, yes. Road Warrior.
So they were doing coke. They were doing lines.
Yeah.
Is that what
yes.
was?
Maybe. It's what maybe you it do. Was. Maybe it wasn't coke. Maybe they were crushing up some Adderall and
MDMA.
Yeah, snort some Adderall or
bath salts maybe.
Something. That is a substance.
But, it's what you do at, when you go to Ukraine.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's where that was at? That was in Ukraine?
They're on their way on a train.
Okay. Well, Harry's just complete. Harry's got all the data and the details on this one. Harry Mays, Macron's
this
insider.
This is the best video I've seen in weeks.
You're just having flashbacks of your glory days.
Exactly. In my prime.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. Is it cocaine?
No.
Dawn says no. Right now, just 3 minutes into the voting, 81% say yes. Yeah. So you are in the minority. I also voted yes.
I agree.
So
I don't go into the YouTube chat, but put me down for a yes.
It's a tissue.
It's a tissue.
It's a tissue.
Play it one more time, Philip.
He's trying to stop the spread.
Yeah.
I mean, look, watch it. Right hand, here it comes.
Grabs
Let's break this down frame by frame. Right hand, underneath the left elbow.
Yep.
Then he swaps it from right hand to left hand into either the pocket or he throws it on the floor.
That's how I used to hide my nickel bag in school. I mean, come on, guys. I mean,
that's how I would act when somebody would catch me picking my nose.
Yes.
Yeah, hide the booger.
They're saying the French and Macron are saying that this is a their enemies are creating a scandal and it's fake news.
Enemies.
So more likely that's cocaine or his wife is a dude.
Both.
Remember that story.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we do. We get Macron.
Yeah.
We get Biden.
God, I hate the French.
We get Macron's wife and Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
And we have four dudes in blonde. Sounds like a party.
That is a bag of cocaine, and his wife may or may not be a dick.
It's a tissue.
Thank you very much. I have spoken.
For the record, there should be no other
points of view.
I have never tried cocaine. I just want to clear that up with the audience.
No,
not once in my life.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah.
It's not good for you.
Don't do it.
Yeah, it's not good for you.
It was once in Coca-Cola.
I know.
That's right. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. And then Bobby said it had to go.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. The voting is fast and furious. 86% say yes, it is.
I mean, you have to be on something to lead the French anyway, don't you? I mean, Soccer, I know
you
it's your
You have to be
bit.
On something to go to Ukraine.
Yeah. All right, let's since we have some views here, let's do one more here on the view tab, and then we'll get into what happened in New Jersey over the weekend that Nick did his big take on. So you guys all get Amazon deliveries, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
27 Phil. This Amazon driver is seen leaving a package and leaving another package. Oh, on a Los Angeles homeowner's doorstep.
Could be Gavin Newsom's estate.
This driver gives Amazon Fresh a whole new meaning. Was caught on camera dropping off multiple gifts on Mother's Day. So this was yesterday.
Mm.
The lucky homeowner who found a dirty paper towel in the planner's box. All right, roll the video. YouTube.com/at1210. Drops off the package.
Takes the photo
like they always do. Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's a female.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
What? Are you serious?
What is wrong with people?
Oh.
What is wrong with this show?
I thought this was Delco only.
This is like the Delco dumper.
Yeah.
So she cleaned up after herself and left the left the
this lady
the toilet paper in the rack.
Ew.
Oh my god.
Disgusting.
Earlier that day, now what is she doing? She's on a different set of steps.
Yeah, she multiple
times. Number one or number two?
She urinated on later the day, and she dooted.
Oh my god! What now? Why do these people have to do this stuff? What did that guy do to deserve that?
Maybe she has issues.
Right?
Where are you? In all seriousness. You're an Amazon driver, and you have, you know, issues.
Right.
Where do you? I mean, I'm not condoning this, but where do you go?
You stop off.
You have
at
to
Walmart.
Go to a hotel. Like a
you
hotel.
You go to a gas station convenience store. You go in, and as
like
we've
Hampton Inn.
Yeah, and as we've established, you don't have to buy anything. You just go in, and you do your business, and you leave.
Or
if you're, you know, Greg and Dawn, you buy a pack of gum on your way out, so you don't feel bad.
Absolutely.
Right.
I would like to say, women in the last 2 weeks. They've really taken the cake as far as
I'm telling you, man. I told you on this show this never would have happened if we didn't allow women to start voting.
Yeah.
See, you give them an inch, you give them an inch, like Dawn's brother would say, and they take a mile.
See,
when they start defecating,
that's right.
I want to do the show with Dawn's brother.
Yeah. No, but I used to have a large territory like for sales, and I'd be in the car all the time, you know, going up and down the Jersey Turnpike, what have you, from New York to Philly area. And I'd have, you know, sort of scouted out the various, like, hotels, like a Hampton Inn at this exit. Well, you know, if you need to go to the bathroom, you find a hotel and you go in the ground floor, and there's always, like, a men's room right in the lobby.
Yep.
And that's what you do.
See, you're much more high class than me. You've scouted out hotels.
Yes.
I would just be looking for the local sheets.
Yeah, to do your sheets.
Yeah, to do my sheets.
Exactly.
And leave some sheets behind.
Right.
All right. Now that we've taken the show into the gutter.
Harry stops at like a Hilton.
The French president was doing cocaine, and this woman was dooting on somebody's...
Can we get it back to the serious stuff?
Back porch.
Let's get it back to Trump.
Really pure cocaine can make you do that, too.
Yeah, maybe it's related.
Yeah. Maybe she was on it.
By the way, Stalker, as an anti-French guy that you are, the French hater of the program, does Macron gain points with you for that?
No!
Okay.
What do you take of me, sir?
I
don't condone cocaine.
Well, you always say the French are very weak.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are.
This is giving them beer muscles.
Yeah, Coke's not for the weak of heart, I've heard.
They don't surrender as quickly if they're on Coke.
Makes them bold.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They can appear like they have muscles. All right, so the mayor of Newark, Roz Baraka, was arrested at the Delaney Hall ICE Detention Center after an argument with agents. Can you roll cut... Cut one here, Phil. There we go. Members of Congress here for a scheduled visit where they shoved after trying to include Baraka in conversation after he gained entry through the gate. He was arrested outside the New Jersey ICE detention facility. He went on one of the, this is cut two, Phil. He went on one of the Sunday shows, I think it was, or maybe this was Psaki, said that it was an uncomfortable and humiliating situation for him. Roll this.
Told at all why you were charged with trespassing?
No, they charged me, I guess based on the charge that they can find. We was actually allowed on the property in the first place. Nothing happened for a long, long time. For at least over an hour. And then, after they finally told us to leave and I told them I was leaving, they came outside the gate and arrested me. So it looked like it was targeted.
It certainly looked like that from watching. And I know there's lots of questions. I'm sure you have. We all have. Have you heard? Are those charges still pending? Have they been dropped? Have you been given any indication of that?
No, they haven't been dropped. I can't completely talk about the particulars of the case, they said, but I have to appear in court again. So they have not dropped the charges. I've been charged with a Class C misdemeanor, a federal trespass.
That is, let me ask you, you were detained for a couple of hours today. I mean, where were you detained after you were arrested?
I was in a Homeland Security kind of barracks, a cell that they have there. I was being held there. And the guys from Homeland Security were very gracious, very respectful, treated me with respect and integrity. So I have nothing but respect for those guys. But, it was still a uncomfortable and, a humiliating situation for me.
You know what's uncomfortable and humiliating is watching one of the two sides of your political aisle in this country do what they did on Friday. That's humiliating and uncomfortable, watching these morons try to break and enter. Tom Homan laid it out perfectly in the clip that we played for you in the Big Take. You cross that line of impediment, you are going to be arrested. Mm-hmm. And with those ICE agents, that guy right there, what's his name? Ross Straka? Ross Barack Obama, whatever the hell his name is, mayor of Newark. You're lucky, yeah. ICE. You're lucky that ICE didn't drop you dead in your tracks, man. I mean, the guy was literally trying to go in. You watched the one video we played for you in the Big Take. The gate is open. The bus is about to be coming through, and it's an illegal detention center. It's a security threat for everybody involved.
I think it was smart that DHS released the body cam to show exactly what happened.
Agreed.
Because there are claims. This is a career politician. Baraka, just complaining about this and making all these claims. The bottom line is you're at a secure federal facility. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so release that video. I think that was good on the part of DHS to say we're being transparent. You judge for yourself, America. Here's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Yeah. And by
the way,
he'll
be a talk show hero for the whole week now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Chris Van Hollen already paid his bail money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He also said, this is cut three, that he's considering taking legal action, against DHS over his arrest at the ICE facility three.
Any legal action in light of what took place today and what happened to you?
Well, I mean, we're going through this process now, and obviously I will confer with my lawyers to figure out what's the best pathway forward on this. I think they completely violated my rights. I'm the mayor of the city. I have the right to go anywhere in this city. Particularly in places where I think our laws are being violated. I went up in a driveway with our healthcare inspectors and our fire inspectors early on, and we've been doing that for the last couple of days. They've been ignoring us. And actually the Congress people who have oversight on this went onto the property and tried to get inside, and they made them wait over an hour, and they never got in. Never.
They mentioned that, and one of
all right.
Yeah, F around and find out. That's what happened.
Yeah, and you talk about what legal action that this guy is going to take as the victim, and Psaki sitting there propping him up.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, he got charged with a Class C misdemeanor. Mm-hmm. He's only going to walk away with, at most, a fine, and I don't
know. It'll get dropped anyway.
Or dropped, right. Like, it'll probably be dropped. But worst case scenario is it's a fine and six-month probation, or maybe he's got community service. This guy's not going to face any stiff punishment.
Yeah. Of course. He's a victim, though. What a pathetic loser she is.
And how about Newark? Well, seriously.
Yeah.
LaMonica McIrvin and then this guy. I thought
they made a lot of progress.
Yeah. We have this. So this was the body cam footage obtained by Fox News that appeared to confirm that Representative LaMonica McIver, is that how you say it?
Yeah, I used to watch that show in the 80s. So I
Not Daryl LaMonica, the mad bomber.
They're lucky because the one federal law enforcement officer there was assaulted.
Yeah, well, they're saying that she elbowed a DHS mm-hmm. agent.
You can see it.
Yeah, so let's roll this video here, Phil. Let's see if you can see the. See if you can see the. She is. Is she? I was. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did you see
it's
it?
It's a no-no.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's... Yeah. I mean, Jasmine Crockett's like, whoa, I gotta up my game this week.
Yeah.
But if you're... Here's the thing. This is a federal facility, mm-hmm. and certainly the mayor, he's local. So he certainly knows that he does not have any jurisdiction mm-hmm, to trespass right. onto a federal facility. He knows that. This guy's... He's playing this up because he's a partisan. But the truth is, he knows full well he can take it to court. His lawyers can take it to court. He's going to lose 10 out of 10 times.
Phil, can you just roll without the sound? While we're talking here, you can see the video here. Thank God for body cam footage.
And look at that facility. Look at all the fencing.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, you're not getting out of there. We're not going to have a Danilo Cavalcante, sneaking out like he did from the local facility here in Philly.
Yeah.
It is alleged that the individuals who are inside that federal detention center, some of them allegedly violent criminals, which is why they were rounded up by the authorities and they're being held right now. So this is basically a temporary, prison, if you will, a federal prison. Does a local person, a local yokel, have the right to just stroll in?
No. Of course not.
No.
This premise that, I'm the mayor, I have a right. No, you don't. And you
said he could go anywhere he wants.
Good luck.
By the way, McIver is claiming that she was the victim.
Of course.
The way we were treated at Delaney Hall is almost unbelievable. ICE shoved me. They disrespected us and tried to stop us from conducting the oversight we're elected to do, but we'll never back down in our fight for what is right.
Yep.
That is Representative LaMonica McIver, who you can see in that video. Mm-hmm. If you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/1210BPHD, you can see her elbow, the DHS agent.
Which is why DHS was, and they didn't just release it to Fox News. They released it publicly. AP has it. So this was not a Fox News thing. They said, here it is. We're going to release this. Maybe Fox put it up first, but they were smart to just widely say, here it is. We're making this public. Here's the body cam video. You look for yourself. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of transparency goes a long way.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Staying in order here, Phil, AOC jumped in on this.
Of course. Not to be outdone.
What doesn't she jump into? Apparently her old district, by the way.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see... go ahead, Greg. I'm going to pull this up. I want to read this after the clip.
Oh, you mean the frustration that she's spending too much time campaigning and not enough in her district?
That would be correct, sir.
We have video of her trying to do a town hall and basically heckler saying the exact same thing.
Okay.
Let's start right here with five. If she says if anybody is breaking the law in this situation, it's not members of Congress, it's DHS.
Right.
Roland.
And now what DHS is trying to say, again, they're using public intimidation because they know that they cannot come for us all. They know that they are not, that they cannot come for us all. And recently what they said is that DHS is allegedly looking into arresting members of Congress who were showing up for their legal and constitutional obligation to conduct oversight. If anyone's breaking the law in this situation, it's not members of Congress, it's the Department of Homeland Security. It's people like Tom Homan and Secretary Kristi Noem. You lay a finger on someone, on Representative Bonnie Watson Coleman, on Representative or any of the representatives that were there, you lay a finger on them, we are going to have a problem.
Ooh.
Because the people who are breaking the law are the people who are not abiding by it. And it is enshrined in the law that members of Congress who show up to ICE and CBP facilities are required to be granted access, legally required to be granted access. And they legally cannot be inhibited from accessing these facilities to conduct their constitutional obligation to investigate and conduct oversight.
Yeah. Now give me a couple of highlights, will you?
The former bartender.
Oh, man.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says he's outraged by the unjust arrest.
Oh, he's outraged. Yeah. Harry Mays, in about 27 minutes today, has solved the coke crime with Macron and ordered up a couple of high lifes.
Exactly.
What a day.
We're off to a good start.
This is my kind of cut sheet.
I will defend Bonnie, 80-year-old Bonnie, because remember, let us not forget that she gave us Mr. Strozak.
That's right.
Remember that famous moment? Yeah. Mr. Strozak for the...
Yeah, she couldn't get Strzok's name right. Yeah.
By the way, front page of the New York Post yesterday, it says AOC, AO-SEEYA, constituents seethe at no-show Ocasio-Cortez. And the headline is, fed up AOC constituents in the Bronx and Queens mock the absentee rock star who is never in their district. Quote, this woman has done nothing.
Let's
celebrity.
Let's go on to cut eight here. This is a breaking point at her one of her home rallies in the Bronx and Queens. Roll this.
Exercising and using our constitutional rights. Our rights are using or losing.
Wow, that looks like a Gen Zer too, Nick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How about that?
Apparently, her constituents are sick and tired of being second fiddle to the jet-setting socialist primary focus. Her district offices in the Bronx and Queens offer little to justify the $1.9 million the congresswoman gets to run them. Wait, what? $1.9 million the congressman gets to run them?
No, it's not 1.9 million.
Know. What is that? That doesn't make sense.
But I do know she's, on those flights with Bernie Sanders to the taxpayer expense of $221,000 while they fight climate change.
Yeah.
Right?
The oligarchy tour.
The oligarchy tour. You know, there are some people out there that think she's got a puncher's chance in 2028. I don't see it. To me, if it was no to Hillary and it was no to Kamala, America is not electing that.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that, forget the policies, because, yes, we will never elect a socialist to be president of the United States of America. But look at endearing qualities. You know, all the stuff that supposedly shouldn't matter but does, right? You go back to Trump v. DeSantis. There was nothing endearing about DeSantis. Trump has this charm. He's got that it factor. All I ever see from her is rage. Nobody's going to elect a rage baiter that just jumps every time I see her. Maybe she has Macron's eight ball. She is always at 100 miles. Does she ever have a moment where she crashes? Hey, it's a nonstop. Mm-hmm. Oh, I would blow my head off.
I think, in all seriousness, with the Baraka incident, I think that it's important to remember the DHS keeps putting the mugshots out of those MS-13 gang members who are being held inside that federal facility.
Yeah, and smart move.
You know, and to keep putting their mugshots out, remember this case of a pedophile, remember this case of a woman raped, and just to remind the public of the dangerous criminals that exist inside that federal facility. This is a serious situation, and these partisans should not use this as some kind of a backdrop for their political gain. And that's really what they're doing.
Well, if I were to play those videos for unknowledgeable constituents in New Jersey, and I just said, hey, I'm going to play this video for you. This is an ICE detention center. I'm not going to give you any other context. I'm not going to give you any sound. I'm not going to tell you who these individuals are. I want you to guess, what do you think is happening in said footage clip? It looks like a prison break.
Yeah.
So this is the stance that the Democrats are taking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck with that, right?
Good luck.
Yeah.
Well, CNN wants to question the New Jersey Democrats. They had them all in the State of the Union show yesterday. This is 34, Phil.
Well, who's this, the bash or the tapper?
It's the bash. Roll it.
And this was an attempt. You were doing an event there, but you were also trying to go forward with part of your job in Congress, which is oversight. Were you able to get any of that oversight actually done? Congresswoman MacGyver, I'll send that to you.
MacGyver.
Yes, we actually were. I mean, that's why I find it to be appalling that they said we were trespassing, because how are we trespassing? And then you offer us a tour at the end, which is the reason why we were there in the first place, to have a tour of this facility that had just opened up on May 1st. It had over 100 detainees. We were getting reports prior to our tour that children were there. We did not know the status of the facility or the status of the detainees. And so that is why we showed up there, to do our job as members, and New Jersey count on us to do our job. Immigration has been something that's in the back doors, in the backyards of New Jersey, and it's our jobs to make sure everything is running properly at this facility. So we were able to get a tour towards the end of all of that commotion, all of that chaos. They took us on a tour, offered us a soda in the midst of doing this, never apologized or said anything about the confrontation and the chaos that they caused outside. But we were able to get in, speak to detainees, check out the facilities, and, you know, make sure everything was okay there.
Wow. What, so I guess what? Everything is okay.
Yeah. You got a Dr. Pepper on your way out.
Right.
And a gift
bag. You
got
a free soda.
Yeah. And a t-shirt. Thank you for coming. Right. We'll see you again next year. You know, why do they owe you an apology? That's their facility that they run and operate. Yeah. You're just a citizen. I don't care that you're an elected official. Yeah, okay, AOC says they have a right to see it, but it's not like they have a right to just show up and walk right in and be given royal treatment. There's probably a protocol that they have to adhere to. And based on all the visual evidence that I have seen, it does not look like that was the most opportune time to be going through that gate, if in fact they were expecting a shipment of new detainees, right?
Yeah.
This is a federal facility that's holding, according to all these different federal officials, they've released some of the mugshots of some of these guys. But these are alleged killers, MS-13 gang members, as well as other gang. There are Dominican gang members, all these different gang members, child rapists, pedophiles, human traffickers, drug dealers. So these are dangerous individuals, and they're being held in this facility. You can't just storm a facility. It doesn't matter if you're a mayor, a senator, whoever you are.
Right.
And she's saying May 1st. They were invited to do this. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm not sure of the timing of this, because obviously this situation did not happen May 1st.
As
we've seen the body cam video being released.
Right.
It sounds like she's conflating two things to try to smooth this out. But I think there's no question they were in the wrong here. You can see.
If you are a constituent in LaMonica MacIver's district, how do you think that sits with you when you hear and see her on CNN say, yeah, we just wanted to go in and see how the detainees were doing? You think LaMonica MacIver goes back to the district that she represents to go up and down neighborhood blocks and check in to see how you're doing?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I'm going to say no.
13 here, Phil. Representative Jasmine Crockett says the Democrat donors want the, quote, safest white boy for their 2028 candidate.
Now which dialect is she using here?
She's on the Sirius XM Urban View show.
Okay, so we get
you're gonna get
all the smoke.
Yeah, you're gonna get that form of Jasmine.
It is this fear that the people within the party, within the primary system, will have about voting for a woman, because every time we voted for a woman, we've lost so far. And I think that that's a natural fear because we just want to win. So there's a lot of people that are like, you know what? Like, let's go find the safest white boy we can find. I mean, I'm just saying.
Those are the callers that we're hearing. We're hearing people.
No, for real.
A white man's got
to
be those callers.
For real. And to be clear, when we talk about them, I can tell you that there is one specific candidate. I had a donor on the phones with me telling me that all the donors are lining up behind that candidate. So I can tell, and I can tell you, it's not a black person nor a woman. Okay.
Pause
so
it.
Like it is.
Guesses on who that person is?
Well, I'm still trying to process.
Yeah, Newsom. Yeah, it's definitely Newsom.
I think it's got to be Newsom,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think he's a
who
little.
Who else, Nick?
I think he's a little toxic. I think it's going to be Shapiro.
You think so?
Shapiro. Although Shapiro's not a safe white boy because he backs Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's probably out. So you're whoever the safest white boy. That's such a racist comment. I mean, if I was hosting that show on Sirius XM Urban, I would have said to Jasmine, okay, so you're talking about safe white boys. Did the power brokers that be in 2007 determine Barack Obama to be a safe black selection? I'm just wondering because we're talking about what's safe, what's not safe, who's white, who's not white. Again, identity politics. Here's what I would advise Jasmine. Find somebody that the average man can relate to.
Yeah. Right.
Not whether they're safe, not whether they're white, not whether they're gay, not whether they're transgendered, not whether they have one leg. Just find somebody that's a normal human being, you dope. All this identity. I got to find a safe white.
Yeah.
She's basically admitting that chicks have no chance. That's right. What she said there, right?
The fact that they thought last year that Tim Walz was going to speak to me is a joke.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Really?
Well, at least there was until we found out about all of his lies, like stolen valor and all this other nonsense. At least on the surface, when we looked at the cover of the book, they tried to sell us military background, football coach,
fake
rifle, loves to go hunting. Like they tried, and then you started to realize, okay, stolen valor. Then he was like, he's an assistant coach. Then you saw the video where he couldn't even load the gun. I mean, at King Shooter Supply, I was more comfortable with a gun for the first time than Tim Walz as he's running for vice president in a staged photo op.
Speaking of 2024, Senator Amy Klobuchar says that everything we look at in the rearview mirror after you lose an election, we would have been served better if we would have had a primary.
So we shouldn't have upended democracy, and we should have went about it the way they say we should.
Roll it.
Yes. Senator, let me get your reaction to what we heard from former President Biden, who spoke out this week for the first time since leaving office. Here he is talking about his exit from the 2024 race. Take a look.
I love this.
Should you have withdrawn earlier, given someone else a bigger chance?
I don't think it would have mattered.
Senator, would the party have had a better chance of winning in 2024 had President Biden dropped out sooner?
You know, everything we look at in a rearview mirror after you lose an election, yes, we would have been served better by a primary. But we are where we are. We're not on the History Channel right now. And I believe that President Biden...
No, the History Channel is more entertaining.
...can do interviews whenever he wants.
Viewers.
But I will say this. We're not in the History Channel. And our Republican colleagues, instead of dealing with where we are now, think they're in some kind of a way back zone, that they can go in some kind of bring time backwards and blame everything on Joe Biden. Donald Trump is the president right now, and we have to deal with helping the American people. My party, we want to focus on lowering costs, on finding new ways to build more housing and get more affordable energy, on really working with our entrepreneurs all over the country to seize on this moment that we have with everything from mapping the human genome to AI.
That's enough.
What in God's name is she talking about?
Yeah. Klobuchar is smart to talk. That's what Democrats should be talking about. They should be talking about the economy, making our economy, recover still from the pandemic, AI, the future. Klobuchar, she's absolutely right. These are losing issues. When they storm a facility and try to basically stop gangbangers who are illegals.
From being detained.
Right. Yep. I mean, from being, that's basically what they were accused of doing, trying to shut it down.
Right.
These are bad looks. When they fight to have men and boys compete against girls in sports, that's a bad look. Mm-hmm. That's why all these suburban moms, Democrats and Republicans, it doesn't matter their politics, they're all going to say, hey, we want to protect girls and women. These are no-brainer issues. And so Amy Klobuchar, I mean, they should listen to her, actually.
You know, it's when you think about politics, it's really no different than sports. It's offense and it's defense. For politics, it's about going on the offensive, talking about your strengths, giving your message, and then ripping down the other side. The problem the Democrats have right now is they're always playing defense. All they do is resist to Trump
fight.
While not carving out their own niche and their own message with their own candidate on 80-20 issues that maybe they can win. Instead, they're doubling and tripling down on all the 80-20 issues in society that Americans have already said, we reject and you are losing. Immigration, wars, dudes and women's sports, all of that.
Nick, they're just playing politics. That's the problem. It's not a game. It's not a sport. It's our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so these policies matter. These policies have shut our kids out of schools, have injured our daughters and granddaughters. You know what I'm saying? Like, these policies matter. And so what the Republican Party, if you look at it, what the Republicans have said is, we want to turn this upside down world back, right side up. And we want to make things right, and we want to work hard for you. We want to expose, with DOGE, the fleecing of America. We want to have it so that Americans, you have a better deal worldwide with trade and your economy. And so the Republicans, if you look at how they're viewed right now, look like the ones who are saying, we're working very hard. We're working tirelessly for you. You are the customer, America. And we're trying to just make America great again. The Democrats, on the other hand, look like they're just constantly playing politics.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I think Amy Klobuchar, I mean, there was a lot of wisdom in what she was just saying. Let's work for the American people. Let's work for the, you know, making the economy better. And I know that maybe that sounds a little boring, but they should listen to her.
I actually think, I'm not disagreeing with what you said, Dawn. I think it goes above Republicans versus Democrats at this point. Mm-hmm. I think it goes above left versus right, conservative versus liberal. Certainly some of that stuff will always apply. If you're a conservative, you have a belief on said topic. If you're but this is, to me, populism against the globalist agenda. This is Trump and the normal everyday person and being able to own a home, having secure borders, having law and order, versus this globalist agenda of open borders, you'll own nothing and be happy, this World Economic Forum nonsense with the elitists that get together every year. Not to say that Trump doesn't have some elite to him and he doesn't cater to a billionaire from time to time. He certainly does. But there's a stark contrast between
Qatar.
Qatar with the boat or the plane. Jet. Like, look, and I get it. You know, Trump's got his billionaires on his side. He's got Zuckerberg. He's got Musk and Bezos all bending the knee to him. But this is about all of us against the 1% that want us to have nothing. And to me, what the Democrats became, and it was really exasperated and highlighted the last 4 years, was inflation out of control, costs, wars. Think about everything that Trump did last week and what he's trying to do this week. None of which the Biden administration could get under control and eradicate once and for all. Not saying that Trump is out of the woods yet. He's not. But it makes you wonder, like, what the hell was this last administration doing when this guy's only in the fifth month of a four-year term? And if you look at his agenda, he's just going right down the list. He's doing, say what you want, is it 10% complete? Is it 90% complete? Has he given everything yet? No. But you could sit there and say the bar of progress for each agenda point on his website has started. I mean, he's literally doing everything he said he would do. There should not be a surprise from a Democrat or a media member saying, look at this guy, how dare... He told you he was doing this. He ran on it.
It was voted for.
And it was voted for.
Yeah.
It's the mandate from the American public. 78 million people wanted it. If Democrats, you don't want it, find somebody better than Captain Gigglebox.
I'm going to push back a little bit just to say this, that when we talk about these big words, populism versus globalization, right? What I'm saying here is that Trump simplified that. So think about this as he just says America first. So he doesn't mind saying, hey, let's do business with the world on an international basis, speaking of globalization of the world.
Sure.
But what he's saying is, America, you've been getting a bad deal.
Correct.
We're not paying the freight anymore.
Yeah. Right. So in every one of these, he's saying you as a consumer deserve transparency. You deserve to know where your tax dollars are going. Think about Doge. Think about the fleecing of America. Think about the fact that these checks were going out to these NGOs and nobody knew where the money was going. And we now know how all of these people, partisans and perhaps some of their lackeys, got so rich.
Mm-hmm.
And so a piece of this is just saying we've been getting played. We've been getting played by both sides. And that's the brilliance of Trump. That's why we know that on the right and on the left, they have been against him, the swamp. And so I think that's a piece that we have to say, that he's throwing both sides under the bus when he exposes all of this, because there have been times when Republicans have been in charge and Democrats have been in charge. Mm-hmm. But what has happened? We were fleeced. Yep. We were ripped off.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I went to school on a school bus.
That's the bus that got ran over.
Absolutely correct.
Run.
Christ.
He does this on purpose.
Let's take a break. We should take a break. And on the other side, what would you do if a 7 and 9 year old pull handguns on the police? We have video of this on the other side.
Wow. We have a parenting crisis. Kale and Company, as we continue live on a Monday morning with Harry Mays on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You know, when you think about the warmer weather, heating up, the change of season, you got to make sure that your HVAC system is running properly. And that's why I'm so grateful every season for my guys at Marvin E. Cann's third generation owned military veteran founded company. Take my advice. Just call my guys, Marvin E. Cann's. Get your HVAC system, your furnace checked for the new season. And if they feel that your unit needs to be replaced, they're going to give you that honest assessment at a fair price and install a high efficiency Trane furnace, T-R-A-N-E. Heard to stop a train, as they say, just contact my guys, Marvin E. Cann's Heating and Air Conditioning, Marvin E. K-A-N-Z-E.com, MarvinEcanns.com. Do this. You'll thank me. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The NFL leaking out a little bit of information as the Eagles are going to open up with the Dallas Cowboys week one. Thursday night, September 4th on NBC at Lincoln Financial Field. Eagles Cowboys right out of the gate.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yes, indeed. Oh, I am excited. Oh, I'm excited. The countdown is on.
I was actually hoping it was Detroit coming to town for the Thursday night game.
That would have been great, too.
Because they played Detroit at home this year, but. Yes. I don't know. Dallas, you know, they still think Dallas is America's team, I guess. But they stink.
Although, you know, I guess with the theme of politics these days, we could have went to El Salvador and played the Packers in a great game. And maybe Chris Van Hollen could do the coin flip. Kilmar Abrego-Garcia could sing the national anthem. It would have been a nice touch.
Well, it's nice that they're not losing a home game this year.
Good.
Yeah.
As I was saying,
Trump announced that he's going to build a National Center for Homeless Vets using funds that were previously spent on illegal immigrants. It's the new National Center for Warrior Independence will help them out and other veterans like them rebuild their lives, said Trump at the White House. Roll this.
Crooked Joe Biden, the U.S. government has spent nearly $1 billion to house illegal aliens and foreign migrants in expensive luxury hotels, courtesy of you, the American taxpayer, and they want to spend billions and billions more. In many states, we're running out of hotel space because the rooms are all booked up with illegal aliens living in a very large way on the American taxpayer's dime. Meanwhile, we have 33,000 veterans in this country who are homeless and living very poorly, I might add, and it's a shame. They're living in filth and squalor on our streets. Nobody is doing a thing for them. We helped them a lot during my 4 years, and it's all been dropped. Everything we did for our veterans has been dropped. It's a disgrace. Joe Biden puts illegal aliens before homeless veterans, and we cannot let this happen any longer. The American veteran is one of our greats. These are great, great people. We have to take care of them. When I am reelected, this national scandal will end. On day one, I will sign an executive order to cut off Joe Biden's massive spigot of funding for shelter and transport of illegal aliens and redirect a portion of those savings, a very large portion, I might add, to provide shelter and treatment for homeless American veterans.
Oh, this was the announcement that he was going to do this. And then,
now
he did it. Yes. Okay.
This was during the campaign, obviously.
Promises made, promises kept.
Right.
New York.
Promises kept.
New York Post, May 7th. Yeah. May 7th, the New York Post with this story. Thousands of migrants are still living at New York City's historic Roosevelt Hotel, despite a ticking clock for shelter. As an ad just popped up, for shelter to close. Nearly 2,000 migrants are still being housed. As many as 2,900 were also housed on taxpayer dime during the height of the influx of migrants. And the number of residents has only dwindled to around 1,800 as of last Wednesday. So May 6th, I think, 7th. Just amazing.
Will they be here for the May primaries? Those votes are expensive.
You got to keep them for the primary hair.
Exactly.
But then they might not be able to get them out in June because June is Pride Month.
Yeah.
So they're going to have a lot on their plate. And the Democrats have a lot on their plate, like a brand manager, a lot on their plate come June. Love that phrase.
11 here, Phil. This woman, it is 2025, right?
That is correct. Sir. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Just didn't know. This woman goes on TikTok and shows off her favorite masks to wear to protect herself from COVID.
Jeez almighty.
So she wears, she's wearing two masks.
Yeah.
Great.
All right. Maybe we can put a paper bag over her head.
Yeah. Double bagger.
Yeah.
And then she goes to TikTok and explains why she wears these masks.
Well, TikTok is cheaper than insurance, so
roll this.
I officially have a new favorite, KN95. To break into a top spot, a mask needs to be...
Stop it for a second.
Yeah, freezer right there. Leave her in the box.
This is exactly what you think about.
Freezer.
Of a woman that still wears a mask.
Yeah. Again, the eyes, a dead giveaway. You look into the eyes of a person and you can see their soul.
You see their soul.
Yeah.
She's got no soul. She's soulless.
Well, guys,
I could have drawn a picture of this lady.
Yes. I want to make a confession. I, too, on Saturday, wore a mask.
You did? What?
I did.
What kind of mask?
Were you trick-or-treating?
Were you in the hospital?
It was a KN95 mask. I wore it outside.
Oh, okay. You're weed whacking.
No, I was blowing the pollen off my deck.
Okay. Oh, okay. There you go.
Well, I have done studies that does show that KN95 masks are effective against pollen and allergies.
They just
don't work versus COVID.
It barely worked because yesterday my allergies were flaring up. So it absolutely didn't work. But I thought maybe it would. Uh-huh. But the pollen.
Is there video of this?
No.
I need to see
no,
this.
No.
That'd be awesome.
All right. Roll this a little more.
Especially if it's kind of approximately my skin tone, so it blends in a little bit.
Oh, God.
I feel like I get harassed less in public that way. Having a wire for the nose to help with fit. No glasses fogging.
Mm-hmm.
And comfortable ear loops and have the interior of the mask also not be scratchy against my skin. Yeah. It's got adjustable ear loops to help keep that tight seal.
Look at the rosacea on her cheeks. Mm-hmm. Like she's doing her skin and her face and everything no favors by...
Well, that's what happens when you don't go outside.
Yeah.
And get some vitamin D. And
she should just wear one of the wrestling masks.
Yeah. Why don't you become
cover
a
up
luchador?
The whole face.
Yeah.
I don't want to see any of it.
Yeah. Why don't you just live your life in a hazmat suit until you die? How about that? And then I got a mask that blends in with the complexion of my skin. Yeah, what? Right. What's the complexion? 2% milk? You look like you haven't been outside since the summer of 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. Now, Dawn scolds me about not putting on enough SPF. Mental I would illness. Encourage this lady to it just is. Go outside it's, without anything.
It's mental illness, Harry. It like, is. It's just you can't. We broke people. We broke people mm-hmm. in 2020.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot coming back from that. I don't know how you come back from that. Speaking of breaking people, this is just photos. This is 12, Phil. This is a horrific story. So three children were rescued from from COVID syndrome parents who kept them locked inside their home since 2021. Two 8-year-old twins and a 10-year-old were forced to stay in the house and wear face masks. The parents have been arrested on domestic violence and child abandonment charges. Here they come out. Like obviously their mm-hmm. faces are blurred. You can see them wearing masks, and you can see them like they're
crib.
Yeah, just like drawing on their crib because they couldn't leave their house. They haven't been outside since 2021.
Can you imagine that? I mean, my wife used to be a social worker for Northampton County, and right. she would investigate child abuse, sexual abuse, mental abuse. That would I would imagine this would fall in that category. You imagine, what did we learn about COVID? That children were probably the safest, right?
It's ridiculous.
Right?
Poor kids.
All those school closures for nothing, all of those lockdowns for nothing. You know, the vulnerable right. community, the fat, the obese, the one with diabetes and cancer, those were the ones that needed to have the protection, the isolation, because they're immune compromised. But little kids.
Think about this. I assume that, according to the news reporter, they're the 8-year-old twins. I'm assuming they're 8 now. So there were 4.
Yeah, so there were 3.
3 or 4, four yeah. when yeah. like this is the level of scarring and damage these parents yeah. have done is just
That's
is,
the formidable years.
Yeah, is right? like
it's all they know.
It might be
yeah.
irreversible. Like honestly, right. like what do you these kids are going to yeah. be scared of everything because they've never been outside.
There may not be enough therapy on the planet yeah. to fix these kids.
It's sad. The whole thing is just sad, man.
I mean, where did this take place?
Let me take a guess.
I don't know.
California?
I'm going to take a guess. I'm going to say yeah. Oregon.
Oh. Yeah, that's a good guess.
I don't know. If somebody can look that up for me. Thank you. All right, speaking of, since we're down this rabbit hole of kids, the New Mexico police, this is body cam footage that New Mexico police fire non-lethal rounds and successfully disarm two young boys who were holding a loaded handgun. The boys, 7 and 9, were seen pointing the gun towards the police. The moment was caught on a drone, which helped police carry out the operation. The boys were eventually disarmed and were not injured. So you can see these kids, they're standing outside of like a like one of those air conditioning units, and they're in their pajamas. Like this is heartbreaking. They have a loaded gun, and the police are trying to, what do you do with a 7 and 9-year-old who have a loaded gun that they right. don't, you know, pointing at the cops?
Tase them in their ankle? I don't know.
The COVID rescue was in Spain, by the way.
Oh,
it was in Spain.
It was in Spain. Yes.
Wow.
I'm sure that happened here, too.
Spain?
Yeah.
Wow.
What, the Spaniards, huh?
Yeah.
Little loco.
All right, let's do the YouTube.com/at1210WPHT if you want to see this this video. Roll it.
Try to put it down for me, okay?
You're not in trouble, but you got to drop that and come
I
talk to us, all right?
See if there's a magazine inside the magazine well.
Put it down,
but
baby.
They're playing with the gun back and forth. The one in the blue is trying to take it from the one in the
orange.
Oh,
my God.
Accidentally shooting
each other. Good
Lord.
Okay. Put it down.
And now the kid in the blue and green has a firearm.
All right. Then Eugene, can you put it down for me? Now Sean has it. Sean, can you just toss it to the side, babe? Let's make this easy.
Oh, boy.
Because we want to help you.
I guess this is their mom?
We want to help you.
I want to try to do a warning, something.
Put it down, Sean. We don't want to hurt you, okay?
I just don't want
to. Put it down, Sean.
I really don't want to hurt a kid right now.
We don't want to hurt you, and we want to help you, okay?
This is frightening.
It really is.
Put it down, baby.
Seriously.
And where are the parents?
40 yeah. going out.
Oh, sorry, Don.
40. Sorry.
Whoa! Drop it! Drop it, Sean!
Ay, ay, ay.
Load another one.
Drop it now. You're going to get hit.
These are non-lethal rounds. Yeah. They're firing.
I was thinking rubber bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody was hurt. Yeah. Now they're hiding between the house and the air conditioning.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
and this is in New Mexico?
New Mexico, yeah.
I don't even have a gun. I don't have the
gun. There he goes. He ripped it away.
Yeah, there goes the gun.
Nice. Pat him down. Make sure they don't have anything else that can harm anybody.
So instead of charging the kids with a crime, the deputies say they are going to connect the family with behavioral health services.
I don't know, that's a start, but I mean...
Kudos to the cops. Especially the cop who just went in and grabbed the kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, we've seen these stories pop up where adults and the parents are starting to be charged criminally in courts. I'm not against it. I mean, how does the dad explain that? Is there a dad in those two, you know, their lives?
Who knows?
My God. Yeah. I would have done it a little bit differently. I would have been like, put the gun down, I'll give you a Lunchable.
An Uncrustable?
And an Uncrustable.
Was the gun loaded?
Grape or strawberry? Yes.
The gun was loaded.
Which one do you want?
Yeah. It was a loaded handgun, according to the New York Post police report for this. So, I mean, that ended a lot better than it could have. And Dawn's right. Kudos to those cops for staying calm. And, like, you know, you heard even one of the cops in there being like, we're not shooting a kid. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, this, you know, we have to end this somehow.
Could you imagine, though, you talk about mental health and services for that family. Imagine if that kid did fire. And the officer had to return fire.
Yeah.
Imagine the mental issues that officer would have to live with rest of his life.
Yep.
Because he had to shoot an 8-year-old.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Peter M., throwing it back to last week, because remember I said 12-year-olds, some 12-year-olds can't be redeemed.
Uh-huh.
He says, any redemption in this case? Well, yes, of course, because there was nobody was harmed. And I'm talking about those Trende Aragua kids that have no light or have no care or want for human life.
Well, they were the ones assaulting the cops in Times Square.
Yeah. 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 These kids, as far as I can see, were just messing around and didn't really know what they were doing.
And they actually
got in over their heads, you know?
Yeah. And they did look terrified.
Yes.
You know, up against that unit.
Yep.
They're ages 7 and 9.
Yep.
These are little kids. I would say there is a redeemable situation here.
Jail time for the parents?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. If you have a firearm that's available to 7 and 9-year-old little kids, you are responsible for that firearm. I'm a Second Amendment rights person, and that's why this issue is more important than ever.
Mm-hmm.
If you have that firearm and it's legally licensed, you have an obligation. Lock that thing up. These kids never should have had access to that firearm. Never.
Getting a tweet. Maybe this is another theme we have to address on this show. But Kurt says, Greg is a knucklehead. It would have been safer for him and his community to wash it off with a hose on a soft shower setting so he didn't pollen didn't become airborne.
Yeah, Kurt is 100% right.
That's a fair point.
It's a fair point.
What is this in reference to?
The pollen.
Okay.
The pollen. Yeah, no. Kurt, in the mask.
Kurt, you are 100% right.
Wait, what were you doing? I thought you were hosing it off.
No, I was blowing it with a blower. The problem is that it's not just... I wasn't really blowing the pollen off the deck. It's those little whirligig things that come down from trees. They are all over my back patio. So I was really trying to get those. It was just the pollen was on the deck, so it was kind of getting stirred up as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't wet those things because then you can't get them off the deck. So you have to get them off the deck first. Please.
You're probably better off to have a little broom action. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that takes too long.
Power wash.
I mean, like, my back patio is very large. Yeah. So I need, you know.
The bigger issue that we have to discuss here. Is why is it that when Stalker says something that the audience doesn't like, I get the tweet for it? Greg is on Twitter, @GregStalker. It's a very simple Twitter, @GregStalker. I'm not his receptionist.
Like, hey, Nick.
Hey, I'm Greg. What am I, his liaison? Oh, Greg, while you were out today, we had 7 calls. Are you kidding me?
Take my calls. Thank you.
And hold my beer.
Hold my beers.
And my Coke.
We should take a break, but we have a ton more.
A ton more. As we continue.
According your old Nashville mayor speaking out against those ICE raids. Did you guys see this?
The new mayor. As they continue to do blue things in a red state.
And a man who was killed in a road rage accident went into court with the help of AI. So made a statement in court.
After being deceased,
made a statement via AI. We will play that on the other side.
I would like to actually come back and give my wife and daughters a statement via AI once I perish.
What's your dog?
And it won't be nice. Kale and Company, final hour. Next.
Don Piazza.
We got to talk about where I'm broadcasting from, where we're all broadcasting from, right? The Piazza Premium Automobiles Studios. And my friends, our friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, featuring the very latest luxury vehicles. I'm talking about today's top brands, Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. You know already these models with their sleek new designs and innovative features powered by the very latest in technology. And right now, Piazza has thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles, and they're available for you across their Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles always stands out. Visit them, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.